Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new edition, a new episode of Absolute Truth Absolutely. This is your podcast powered by LWYM in Miami, Florida, which stands for Living Word Youth Ministries. I am the youth pastor of said ministry, Giovanni. And with me, as always, is my father and pastor of Living Word Church, Jesus Martinez.
And I take care of the kindergarten people, that is, the adults.
These are, you know, sometimes it's funny because when you deal with youth, it seems like they're more open to correction, to reproof, to instructions. And sometimes, you know, the old phrase, teaching a dog new tricks is just, it's just impossible.
Yeah, they've perfected rebellion, the adults, that is, to the point where you can't see it, but it's absolutely there.
It is there. And then they hide it behind sanctification or humility, a false sense of humility.
We'll be correcting you on this, Pastor, because it's not to my liking. Not that it's not biblical, it's just not to our liking.
I think if you had a dollar for every time someone told you that, you'd pretty much be a millionaire by now.
Well, if I had a dollar for all the committees that exist around the world that deal with evangelical Christians, theological things, I'd be a multimillionaire.
Man, I want to be part of that corporation. Well, anyways, we want to deal with a very touchy subject. We want to deal today with a very, very touchy subject indeed, and that is the current state of the school system in this country. We're speaking in broad terms when it comes to public, private schools, universities, private universities. It's all over the place. It's like a plague. It's spread all over the place. This issue of liberalism, Marxism, communism, socialism being taught in the classrooms and being substituted for what should be taught in the classrooms, which is proper math, unbiased science, American patriotism, true American and world history.
Unbiased global history.
Unbiased global history, exactly. All of these things now are being replaced with indoctrination in the classroom. Now, by what we see, there are recent studies done, I think as far back, and you can even go back as far back as the early 90s, when these studies started coming out, saying that liberal professors in schools generally outnumber conservative professors almost 8-1. That is a tipping of the balance, a tipping of the scale to one side that is so skewed that it's almost impossible to reverse the course. Now, let's talk a little bit about the movement before we continue to the effects of what it's gone on or what its manifestation is nowadays. You grew up in the era of the 1970s. That was your heyday, if you will, you know, being young and seeing how all of these things are occurring. In the 1960s, it's been well known that that's when the communist ideals were being introduced and infiltrated into the school system. And we've spoken before on this program about how it has its full circle, full manifestation in our current age and era. Having lived that time in history, how have you seen that it went from point A to now a point Z?
Well, it's very simple, Gio, and you just mentioned it. The way that they brought it into the nation is through the schools. There is a book that was written by Malachi Martin, and in that book, he showcases, he's kind of angry at the Catholic Church, even though he is himself, or was, because he passed a Jesuit priest and a professor at Catholic University, at Vatican University. He was kind of venting, and there was an exchange of, we gave the Russians computers and technology, and they gave us textbooks. And so even in the documentation that certain men decided to write about, we pick up on the fact that this is the way they introduced their mentality, their ideas into the U.S. mainstream. So it most definitely started with the university, and now it has trickled down to the even the earliest of ages. And so we see light socialism, light communism, light ideas. By the time they get into college, you have full-blown socialist professors just telling our kids what to think, how to view things. Of course, they do it in the name of critical thinking. That's a bunch of baloney. They don't teach him how to think critically of things. They tell him exactly how to think about things and issues and policies, etc.
Well, that's what you're seeing now in the Occupy Wall Street protests. These people are following the same mantra. And when you ask them, for example, out of a group of 10 people that are out there, you ask five, what are you guys doing here? All five of them will give you the same, actually, no, they'll give you different answers, but they're all pretty much the same thing, regurgitating the same thing that their professors taught them in school.
It's a talking point.
Exactly. Well, we're here because of corporate greed. Well, what is corporate greed? All of these people are taking our money and, you know, and they keep repeating the same thing. And then when you show them the facts, that's not true. Why isn't it true? It's not true.
Most of the cops that are arresting these people are making the same or less than what some of them are making.
You know, I mean, you wonder sometimes, where are these people? And you know what the funny thing about all this is? I wonder, because you said something that's so true. They don't think critically. And when you corner them on saying, dude, have you really thought about this? Yes, of course I have. And they haven't given a shred of evidence. They haven't given it an iota of thought process, of really thinking things through to see if they're true or not. They're simply, like you said, regurgitating, repeating the same thing that their professors have taught them.
They're fire starters. It's been known for a while now that comedians will have somebody sit in the audience to start the laughter going, because once you get it going, then it's almost uncontrollable. And it's the same with these people. They'll get four or five of them just to stir up the crowd with ideas, and then the people will chant away. They will regurgitate that. They will just say, yeah, this is our mantra, and they have no idea why they're out there.
Have you noticed that what the professors are doing, they're doing the same thing that people like in the Occupy Wall Street are doing? They move behind the scenes. They know that they're the movers and the shakers of the ideology. And then they send them out there as, you know, lambs out to the slaughter to promote the ideas, to do the movements while they're sitting comfortably in their air-conditioned classrooms teaching this stuff over and over again. Yeah, granted, there are a few that go out and they protest and whatnot, but most of them, they're very comfortable in their office of higher learning, and from there, they do their damage. From there, that's where they begin to spew out the lies. That's where they begin to spew out the evil doctrines of socialism, communism, Marxism, whatever you want to call it. And they allow these kids to revolt. They allow these kids to participate in some very perverse things. Again, the Occupy Wall Street stuff, the rapes, the drug abuse. We're seeing all of it unfold right before our eyes. This is what modern day academia is giving us.
Well, look at the situation that you have at Catholic University, where an attorney is suing the university because they have too many Christian emblems. They don't have a room for the Muslims. Just a tad over 100 Muslims, which, by the way, the university has welcomed, and they have had no complaints. But this attorney, talking about fire starters, is suing the school because they don't have a room free of Catholic emblems, you know, the symbols of Catholicism. And so that is offensive, and it's not just for the Muslim students. I'd like to see that attorney take a trip to, let's say, Iran, and go to Tehran University and say, you have just way too many Muslim symbols here, and our Catholic boys and girls are not feeling comfortable. You know it's not going to happen. And so these people are just starting fires, yeah. And they love to do this because they have an agenda. And once again, where do they do their best damage? And I hate to use the word best, but this is where they do the most damage, in the realm of academia.
Yeah. Well, I get questions consistently via email on Friday nights when we do our meetings. People come up to me and ask me, the young students ask me questions. Gio, I'm encountering this in school. My teacher, I recently received an email from a young man who tells me that the teacher is having them debate about the don't ask, don't tell policy, which was, of course, a restriction placed for those that were applying to the army that they could not openly serve as homosexuals. Why? And for very good reason. Because it would lower the morale of the troops. A lot of troops were very uncomfortable in this situation because they wanted to politicize this entire thing, which that is what it has become. Now that they finally repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it's become a political ploy for them to say, well, look, we're equal, we're heterosexuals, we want, and they don't even want to defend their country. They're just there because they want to make a political statement. Now, going back to the point, This student tells me, the teacher wants us to debate this, but he says, I cannot bring a religious point of view. I cannot bring forth my Christian point of view because he says that it would cause offense to some people. I immediately wrote him back and I said, it's funny to me how now he is more worried about the so-called feelings of the homosexuals and not about you being offended because of homosexual behavior because you're a Christian. I find that very interesting. And then he said, you know, but at the same time, I'm kind of afraid that I'm going to pay the price for it. Said, what else can you do?
So this is an unfair debate because at the end of the day, it's not really a debate. My substance, my points will be held back to a minimal or a minimum because the professor says, yeah, it's a debate and we're going to have a healthy debate, but you can't use this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I was listening to, watching actually, a program called The O'Reilly Factor the other day, and he was reading a letter from a student about some difficulties that he or she, I forget if it was a young man or a young woman, was having in school. And he basically told them to stand down because at the end of the day, the professor has the power. And this is something that you and I have talked about, and we cannot continue to tell our kids to stand down. If there is a price to be paid, then so be it. But this standing down attitude before, you know, the schools and the teachers is costing us, and it's costing us dearly. I'd rather miss out on my A and have my case heard. Eventually, you can create a wave that, even though at the beginning is very difficult, will cause things to happen yeah. on our behalf. And I think that's important. We can continually tell our students, stand down, and they will continually trample upon us. Or we can say, I'm not going to stand down. You're violating my rights. And I'm going to fight this all the way to the end. And if it takes a long time for me to get my due credits and my due, you know, the correct notes that I should be getting on my paperwork and on my final test and everything else, then fine, let it be that way. Let it take a long time. But I'm not going to stand down. I'm going to stand for my rights and I'm going to speak my mind because I still have these freedoms that even though they're there and available to me, the professors, because he's got the power to bring down my grades, is telling me you will shut up and you will do as I say, even though what they are saying is contrary to what I believe and harmful.
And it's a corrupting agent because if you really think about it, what they're doing is they're abusing their power. You're there to teach. You're there to teach the subject matter. And when you're deviating from the subject matter to try to indoctrinate students, that's evil. That's corrupt.
But you, I just can't understand how some people call themselves conservatives. And then they're telling students to stand down.
Yeah.
Don't fight for your rights. Yeah, just say, okay, professor, you won and you must be absolutely right because I do need that A.
Well, you and I, we heard a Christian apologist, a very famous Christian apologist say, don't make any waves. Just believe what you believe. Just tell the teacher what he wants to hear. How can you say that? You know, going back on this issue, let's examine this from a Christian point of view. Let's look at Stephen. This is an individual who the Bible calls a person who the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then the council accuses him falsely. These Jews accuse him falsely and brings him before the council. And he begins to preach. And he says, you know what? Because of you guys, you crucified him. And he brought him forth. He
exposed him. Standing down there, right?
He didn't stand down. Yes, he paid the penalty of martyrdom. But guess what? It began a wave.
But you know what, Gio? Somebody listens to you, and this somebody would be of today's mentality, and he or she would say, but that's not the way that Jesus would do it. That's just, and you're giving them a biblical example of a man called Stephen and how he said, I'm not going to stand down. I'm going to teach truth in the middle of adversity. If it costs me my life, then fine, let it be so. And they're listening to you, quoting the Bible, and they'll go like, yeah, but that's not the way, the Christian way. You know, he should have just maybe sent him an email or something or waited for a better time to expose his views, and perhaps he would have lived a little longer. You know, the reason the material is in our hands today is because these men and these women said, if it costs me my life, so be it.
That's right.
It's worth it.
That's right.
But no, we tell our kids, stand down, don't answer, you need that A. Listen, so you get the A, but You know, how is it going to benefit you in a future where you will not be able to teach and share and live the way you think you should because everything is so controlled because you decided to stand down?
Absolutely.
So if that A is going to be really, really beneficiary to you, if it's going to benefit you, you need to stand up, yes. not stand down, so that in the future you can say, you know, it took some difficult times, going through some difficult times, but we can make it through this and take back some of the territory that we've lost.
Well, in essence, what the students are saying by and the parents, because I think the parents have a lot to do with this also. They have a lot of fault in this. When they tell their kids, whoa, stand down. Don't say anything. Don't go against the teacher. In essence, they're saying that that grade is much more important than the truth.
It's a spirit of fear.
That's
a spirit of intimidation that is working in the mindset of many Christians, many of the so-called conservative thinkers. It's a spirit of fear. The intimidation factor is there. And they say, no, it's just wisdom. You know, it's just being prudent so they can get the A and then they can speak. Where are they going to speak?
Yep. They have no platform.
Exactly. Plus, you know, there's less and less room in the universities and in the schools and in the academia circle for our way of thinking, our way of looking at things. And if we continue to, you know, get the left foot of fellowship, which is the way they treat us all the time,
yeah.
there will be no room for
Absolutely.
Us. So we, in essence, we've been told, go to a corner and speak to the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's got to stop.
Well, and look, here's the thing that really boggles my mind. And I think it's even worse in this group in particular, when Christians tell their kids, stand down. I can understand, I don't want to use that term, but I think our listeners will understand when I say this. I can understand when a secular person, a non-believer, would say to the kids, stand down. Because a lot of these people don't have a notion that freedom has to be protected. It's not something that's self-preserved.
But they don't tell them that because they're in agreement with the teachers.
That's true. That's absolutely true. But here's the other side.
They're so disinformed, misinformed, and uninformed that they go, whatever Teach says must be right.
Yeah. Well here's the other side of that argument. There are those that are non-believers, and they put Christians to shame because they understand that freedoms have to be preserved.
There's a group out there that I tip my hat to them because they most definitely say, no, I will not stand down. I'm not a Christian, but I have conservative views, and I will not stand down, and I applaud them, and I wish Christians would take a look at that and say, boy, that's the way to do it.
Exactly. Why is it that Christians don't do that more? But it's the same category that you were just mentioning. They're uninformed. They don't take the time to learn. I did a radio broadcast recently, and I know I'm going to get flack for it, but that's fine. That's the way it is. I mentioned the parents in this radio broadcast. I said, the parents are partly responsible for this situation because they're not inculcating in their kids to stand up for the truth. Why? Because the parents themselves are uninformed. They don't take the time to know what's happening with current events. They don't take the time to learn U.S. and proper world history. They don't take the time to even read their Bibles, much less to instruct their kids. They leave their kids to be in front of the television screen, in front of the internet, in front of their iPhones, in front of their iPads all day doing nothing. And this is the same spirit that gets, I guess the same attitude, that gets transferred to the kids. It's a wrong attitude. It's an erroneous attitude.
Look, in the cellar to hell, the state of California, you wrote in your most recent article about the Professor Steve Kukovich. And if somebody dared sneeze in that classroom, and then an even more shining armor, you know, knight in armor, dared to say God bless you, he would take off points
yeah.
for saying God bless you.
Yeah.
And people put up with that stuff.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. That I don't get it. There were some parents that were irate. Notice how I said some. I didn't say all. And the worst thing about it, you know what, before I mention the next thing, the worst thing about it was the following. The school board said, we'll take the proper measures. Why don't you just fire the guy? The guy's an absolutely horrible teacher. No. Taking off 25 points because you said God bless you. You know what his excuse was? It's such an antiquated belief that when a person sneezed, they were expulsing the evil spirits. And that's why people in antiquity would say God bless you to protect them from incoming evil spirits. My question is he trying to eradicate a superstition? Or is he trying to censure the name of God in class? It seems more like the latter.
Absolutely, because most people have no idea that the former was at work at one point. So people are just saying it out of courtesy.
Absolutely.
And so he's just, and you can tell it was thought out.
Yeah.
You can tell he knew this is going to create an issue, and I'll have the answer. But you know what he should do is knock on wood that he still has his job. And to do that, what he has to do is knock on his own head, because that's probably all that is in there.
Yeah.
And he's communicating that to his kids. You know, he's contaminating their mind and their soul with his liberal views.
Yeah. Let's give the students that are listening to our podcast some good advice on what to do. We've already given them the advice of standing up for their faith, but I think it needs to go further than that. They need to be informed. And this means reading your Bible on a daily basis, reading up, boning up on materials that are there for edification when it comes to apologetics. There's a lot of great material out there when it comes to apologetics, the truth about, for example, science, what evolutionists are not telling you. One of the books that helped me tremendously, immensely, was Dr. Joe Martin's book, From Evolutionist to the Evolution of a Creationist. In that book, it's written in layman's terms to give you an idea of what the evolutionist agenda is and what the truth is about creationism so that you can properly defend yourself.
Answers in Genesis.
An amazing resource. And I mean, these guys are constantly putting stuff out so that young
Creation
people,
Research Institute out in California.
ICR, Henry Morris and his son. Henry Morris died, but his son is continuing his father's legacy.
Look, the kids have got to let go of the games a little bit. And they've got to, you know, dig and dig in hard, and they've got to dig some trenches. Otherwise, I don't see any hope for them.
You're absolutely right. You made a great point. Constantly, I get kids telling me, Gio, tell me about this. And I'm like, I'm going to give you the smidgen, because you need to do your own research. You can't take my word at it. And some people say, Gio, but you should know this stuff. No, you should know this stuff. If I made myself responsible, if I put it on myself to learn these things, why can't you do the same thing?
In the same way, the students that go to these liberal professors and learn their material to the point that they become echoes and sounding boards, Christians, you know, young Christians should also listen to you when, you know, you teach them and you instruct them, and they should intake this. It should settle in their mind and in their hearts, and they should be able to argue on its behalf with ease.
Yeah.
But they don't, because their mind is, you know, traveling into, you know, where no man has gone before. They got their own starship and taking these voyages to these places. So, Gio, you talk about advice to the youth. Yeah, dig a trench.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, get into the scriptures, get into the ministries that provide the tools that you will need to tell your teacher, you're wrong, and this is why you're wrong. At least, professor, present it as conjecture and not as fact, law, because it's theory at best. And some of it has been shot down many, many moons ago.
And they declare, no, this is real. This is the real deal.
But when Christian young men and young women stand up and say, this is why you're wrong, then they'll think about it.
Yeah. Well, this is exactly, I'll give you a good point and we'll end with this. This is exactly what happened to Dr. Job Martin. A couple of students went up to him after class and said, Dr. Martin, you're absolutely wrong on this issue. And they started bringing in proof. He said that for a space of a year or two, he started thinking about this stuff. And he was a full-blown evolutionist. And then he changed from being an evolutionist to being a progressive creationist, to the point where the students challenged him even more, even in class, saying, hey, you're wrong on this too, to the point where he finally saw the truth. And he said, you know, everything I believed about evolution and even progressive creationism is wrong.
That's a wonderful testimony.
It's a great testimony. So, again, I want to thank you for being on with us. And for those of you that are listening, please do not let these words come in from one ear and out the other. Adopt these truths. Make sure that you inculcate them in your heart. And if you're an adult, if you have kids, make sure that you transfer this to your kids, because they too need to be protected from the lies, from the deceit. This is the reason that we put this podcast out, so that we can give you resources that will protect absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty. If you want to email us any questions, comments, or any references for future topics, please do so at info@lwym.org, info@lwym.org. And until the next occasion, for Pastor Jesus Martinez, this has been Giovanni Del Cristo saying, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.